E-Tidings Cosmos, good morning 21st century world of worlds. This is Radio Richard Ireland, coming to you from within the soundproofless studio of life itself. Thomila Fulcher wrote and sha. I am your host, Richard McSweeney, a self-designated lyrical Irish philosopher of the natural kind. Hear this, listener, give it here your fullness of ear. From the beginning there is breath, and upon that breath there are words. Over the weekend, I registered to post on the NASA SpaceFlight.com forum in the section Spaceflight Entertainment and Hobbies, a section dedicated to model builders of NASA and space hardware, space-related movies, books and entertainment. My topic title being Stories from Earth, for Space Travellers, E-Tidings Cosmos. Posted six stories from The North Tree Star Visitor Spoke to Me Saying, segment of my daily broadcast. Within 24 hours, I received notification that I was eternally banned from the forum. Sorry, you are banned from using this forum. Nothing to do with this site. Website inserted into profile makes this spammy. This ban is not set to expire. Imagine, they consider my going on 17-year-old website, riverstosea.com, to be spam. Moving on. And the sage in the digital age speaks of the philosopher of old, saying, "Birds build their nests," he said, "and have them long ready, ever before there lay any eggs in them. Right timing is very important for them. Likewise do I build my ideas, and have them long ready, ever before I put them into words. Right timing for me, too, is very important." In today's broadcast, I'll be reading from As You Like It, Tao Te Ching, and the true classic of Southern Taoist fragrance. This is a reading in continuity from As You Like It. Didst thou hear these verses? Oh yes, I had them all, and more too, for some of them had in them more feet than verses could bear. That's no matter, the feet might bear the verses. Aye, but the feet were lame, and could not bear themselves without the verse, and therefore stood lamely in the verse. But didst thou hear without wondering how thy name should be hanged and carved upon these trees? I was 7 of the 9 days out of the wonder before you came. But look here, what I found on a palm tree. I was never so berimed since Pythagoras's time, that I was an Irish rat, which I can hardly remember. Trow you, who had done this? Is it a man? And a chain that you once wore about his neck. Change your colour? I pretty who? Oh, Lord, Lord, it is a hard matter for friends to meet. But mountains may be removed with earthquakes, and so encounter. Nay, but who is it? Is it possible? Nay, I pretty now with most penitentiary vehemence. Tell me who it is. Oh, wonderful, wonderful, and most wonderful, wonderful, and yet again wonderful, and after that, out of the hoop. Good my complexion, dost thou think, though I am comparison like a man, I have a doublet and hose in my disposition? 1 inch of delay more is a South Sea of discovery. I prithee, tell me, who is it? Quickly, and speak apace. I would thou couldst stammer, that thou mightst pour this concealed man out of thy mouth, as wine comes out of a narrow-mounted bottle, either too much at once, or none at all. I prithee, take the cork out of thy mouth, that may drink thy tidings. So you may put a man in your belly. Is he of God's making? What manner of man? Is his head what a hat, or his chin what a beard? Nay, he had but a little beard. Why, God will send more, if the man will be thankful. Let me stay the growth of his beard, if thou delay me not the knowledge of his chin. It is young Orlando that tripped up with the restless heels, and your heart bowed in an instant. Nay, but the devil take mocking. Speak, sad brow, and true maid. In faith, 'cause 'tis he. Orlando? Orlando? Alas, the day! What shall I do with my doublet and hose? What did he, when thou sawest him? What said he? How looked he? Wherein went he? What makes him here? Did he ask for me? Where remains he? How parted he with thee? And when shalt thou see him again? Answer me in one word. You must borrow me Gargantua's mouth first. 'Tis a word too great for my mouth of this age size. To say aye and no to these particulars is more than to answer in a catechism. But doth he know that I am in this forest and in man's apparel? Looks he as freshly as he did the day he wrestled? It is as easy to count a tummy's as to resolve the prepositions of a lover, but take a haste of my finding him, and relish it with good observance. I found him under a tree, like a dropped acorn. It may well be called Jove's tree when it drops forth such fruit. Give me audience, good madam. Proceed. There lay he stretched along like a wounded knight. Though it be pity to see such a sight, it well becomes the ground. Cry hola to thy tongue, I prithee, it curveth unseasonably. He was furnished like a hunter. O ominous, he comes to kill my heart. I would sing my song without a burden, thou bringest me out of tune. Do you not know I am a woman? When I think, I must speak as sweet as say on. You bring me out, soft, comes he not here? Tao Te Ching, Installment 30. If a king or queen assist themselves with the Tao, they will not assert their mastery in the world by force of arms. They always seek a consummate result. Whenever a host has encamped, there will be briars and thorns grown. In the sequences of great armies, there are sure to be bad years. The skillful ruler knows to attain a good result. He doesn't dare continue his operations to complete his mastery. In anticipating a good result, being self-opinionated is not appropriate. In anticipating a good result, take action only when there is no alternative course. In anticipating a good result, being masterful is not appropriate. When things have attained strong maturity, they become old. This may be said to be not in accordance with the Tao. And what is not in accordance with the Tao soon comes to an end. This is an interpretation, after my own fashioning, of some lines from the true classic of Southern Taoist fragrance. No three-star visitor spoke to me, saying, "Humaculate of Era, what stories, what anecdotes, what insights do you bring to this new dawn?" A king and a sage were sitting by a summer's lake, chatting away about many things. And the sage spoke, saying, "I am one, your majesty, who attaches great importance to seeing the future that is as it is already happening, which is simultaneously coming, as it were, over towards me, and I over towards it approaching. I primarily employ present happenings rather than past happenings to help me to understand all the more clearly what will be coming to me, what I can intentionally choose to select as to letting myself aimlessly be of the future. I put such a way of thinking, such an orientation on all of my senses, as the ever furthest coming into appearance of all things either directly or indirectly related to me. With using my senses, my mind, my ideas in such a way, I feel them to be like unto the breezes of the air, unrestricted in movement anywhere. No one at all can know the future." "You are right, your majesty. If the future you are referring to is merely that of the past and present, as has been understood down through the millennia, isn't that the only way to understand the future, to understand time? Such an understanding comes from minds that thought alone in terms of day and night, Your Majesty, and the reappearing of seasons, of being born, living, and dying. Such a way of thinking, though very understandable, is very rudimentary. But so are you questioning our ancestors, be they of the valleys, fields, and hills, and the waving about seashore, questioning the insights of our ancient ones of wisdom and knowledge, questioning our brilliant ones of the palaces? Are you greater than all of these? No, not at all, Your Majesty. I am just being me. Me who thinks that the way we have been looking at things for thousands upon thousands of years is, if I may say so, way outdated. All right then, given that, I will for the moment put aside the traditional way, if I may say it being the only true way, the correct way, through the accumulation of knowledge and wisdom of looking at things. May I ask, how can I see the future that is as it is already happening? If I toss this small stone, Your Majesty, into the still lake waters there, what say you will happen? It will create a splash and produce ripples. See, it did. So it did, Your Majesty. But what if I were to say that before I tossed it, I could see the future that it is as it is already happening, that I could see the ripples first, then the splash, then the stone flying through the air and it departing my hand? Were you not merely imagining it, basing on some past experience of having oft-tossed a stone into lake waters? Anything, Your Majesty, can be imagined, but that which is really happening is not an imagining. So are you saying you could really see the ripples first, then the splash, then the stone flying through the air, and then it departing your hand? Yes, I am, Your Majesty. But what if a swan happened to fly along and hit the stone you tossed, causing it not to reach the waters, but instead to fall there on the shore? That, Your Majesty, is just one of the myriad possible things that could be seen in the future that is as it is already happening when I tossing the stone. If you culture yourself to look differently, Your Majesty, you would also be able to see so many things in the future that are happening as you are sitting here. And here is the marvelous thing. With seeing the future that is as it is already happening, you can select which happening you would like to be a part of. Are you saying that if you wanted the stone to be hit by a passing swan, you would select to toss it and it would be struck by the swan, even though no actual swan was present at the moment of tossing it? Marvelous. Yes, that would be correct, Your Majesty. Oh, even so, I think I will stay with the traditional thinking on past, present, and future, the millennia think on time. You don't know what you're missing out on, Your Majesty. True, I suppose, but for now at least, I'm content to stay with the long time no. In a dawn reverie of this new day, meditated I on what an immortal self of mine did say, did lovingly relay, way back in days of long, long, long gone by. O mortal self of mine, when with living in your own realm and time, you will wait for, and hope for, and expect yourself. Of a bravery and of a good courage will you be, letting your heart be fully determined, passionate, and enduring. All right, I will leave it at that for today. Enjoy taking very good care of yourself and those around you. Be ever so grateful for your many blessings, and spare a thought too for peoples living in faraway places, in all different kinds of situations, often very difficult, and not at all of their own making. You have been listening to an Irish philosopher of the natural kind, bringing radio to the internet via Radio Richard Ireland, on the air globally for about 15 minutes, Monday to Friday. The script format of today's broadcast will be available at a future date on AuthenticCloseTDramaScripts.com. It is truly an honor to have your listening. It is more than a voice in your ear. There is power in listening, more than a phrase in your eye. Insight there is in reading. Enjoy both, and please do spread the word. Thank you so much, Richard. May you be a blessing unto yourself, by way of your past, by way of your present, and by way of your future. Slán agus beannacht leat.